You're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community.
Alright, welcome back to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. We are your hosts. I'm Brian, this is Ed, and we're a little bit overdue for an episode, so it's good to be back.
Holy cow.
We'll talk about our little break in a second here, but today we are on our 35th episode, so we're going to be talking about a new sound chip to the podcast, which is the YM3812, or the OPL2. Many of you guys might know this as the Adlib, or some kind of variant of along those lines, but it's a really great sound chip, and we're going to have a lot of fun kind of going through some tracks today.
Yeah, my first introduction to this chip, I think, was playing Doom on old DOS machines.
Right,
it was
right.
Always one of the sound selections that I could pick, and there were a couple different, you know, sound sources that I could choose from that would play through my computer. Adlib, to me, always sounded the best, so that's the one I'd always go with for my Doom soundtracks. And I didn't really have DOS computers when I was a kid. I was always, like, old Mac stuff until, like, Windows 95, so
right.
I missed out on a lot of the classic DOS games that used this chip. But listening to it now, I can see that I kind of missed out on a lot. It's really capable of some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do this chip for a while, because this was something that was important to me growing up, because I played a lot of, like, DOS games. We got our first 386, late 80s, and the biggest feature to me was not having to listen to beeper music anymore. And I was so excited. You know, we had a C64, but there wasn't really, you know, a lot of games that I had. It was mostly my dad doing business stuff on it, so I would, you know, kind of pirate games every now and then later on. The Amiga was really my first introduction to a lot of music as far as computers go, but the OPL2 had a very special place in my heart, because as soon as, like, stuff like Commander Keen or the LucasArts games or any of those games started really getting, you know, off the shelf into my house, the sound just started flowing, and I just really have kind of this deep affection for the 3812.
Yeah, the great thing about the OPL2 is that it is an FM chip, so the tones are much more pure. You know, I think maybe, you know, listening to C64 and Amiga, you're going to hear some of that, you know, grittiness of low quality samples, or just, you know, the C64 just sounds like it's very, very textured, whereas you get some very clean, nice tones like we just heard in this introductory song.
Totally.
You know, on the Adlib. So it's a whole different world of sound, I think. And I think as a kid, you're probably going to be drawn to that a little bit more too sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, we've played a few different FM chips so far on the show, right? I know we did the The Sega Genesis, maybe that was it at this point.
I think that's it. Yeah, just the 2612.
Yeah, so we haven't played a whole lot of FM yet, but and I think we have played various tracks on other episodes after we kind of brought that episode in. As far as FM goes, there's not really as much as you'd think. I mean, the like MS-DOS computers were really, really big here in the States, but they didn't get the foothold that the, you know, other European consoles got, such as like the Speccy and the C64, Amiga, stuff like that. So the demo scene just didn't really expand or kind of bleed over into the MS-DOS computer world too much. And I think that's why there's kind of a lack of actual music done for it, other than like the games, obviously, like your LucasArts and stuff like that that came out later. It really didn't get the same demo scene crowd kind of drawn to it, I think.
Right, and it was a total opposite in Japan, where music discs for the Sharp X68000, PC98, you know, they were coming out like crazy. So that, like the other side of the pond, they were concentrating on all the FM over there, and in the States, we were getting most of the sample based in the PSG demo scene stuff. So if we do any further FM on Impulse Project, it will probably be focusing more on the Japanese stuff.
Yeah, I'd have to start migrating over to the Japanese, maybe Korean side or something that. Because surprisingly, there is a large-ish mystery demo scene in Korea that did a lot of stuff on the OPL too. I don't have any Korean tracks in my selection today, but it's definitely something that we're going to have to explore a little bit more, I think, as the show continues. So let's talk about the YM3812 a little bit. It's a two-operator mono FM synth chip. It's known as the OPL2. It is the predecessor to the Big Brother OPL3 chip that was gained a lot more popularity, I think, later on. It has nine channels, nine voices that can play simultaneously, each containing its own ADSR, or envelope generator, and each of the oscillators can produce sine waves that can be modified into three different waveforms. Ed, you want to talk about these waveforms a little bit?
Sure. So the waveforms are created in a really interesting way. So if you imagine how a sine wave looks, it's like a curved line that goes up and down over a line that kind of bisects it. What the Adlib chip can do is it can kind of remove the part in the second half where the sine wave dips below that halfway point. So you get it like an upward curve and then a flat line right after that. Or it can reverse that negative sine wave and make it another positive one. So you get like camel bumps, like almost like there's two bumps instead of a upward bump and a downward bump. Or it can do like a pseudo sawtooth wave where it just cuts those bumps in half.
Right.
So instead of it being like a triangle sawtooth, you get a curved front and then a flat back to it. So these are waves that you really don't see in other FM chips, and it creates some really interesting timbres.
Yeah, and I think this is a really powerful characteristic of the OPL2 chip and its older brother, the OPL3, because cutting this sine wave down into like half and then quarter really produces this unique tone. And like you were saying, you know, very interesting timbres. And as we listen to some of these tracks, we'll notice like, you know, this would not sound the same on the Sega Genesis, or it wouldn't sound the same on, you know, something like the 2608, which eventually we'll get to as well, because of this having the sine waves characteristic. And I think that's what gives it its charm, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know a lot of composers sometimes fool around, and like with Deflamask, you can easily switch between like the YM2612, the YM2151. They all kind of have these, you know, same operators and same channels, but you don't see many people porting anything from like the 2612 to the OPL3 or the OPL2, I think, just because it works so differently. You really can't. You have to
right.
compose its own individual music for it.
Totally. Yeah, so nine voices, each with a wave generator, and it has its own DSR envelope generator. It also has this really cool feature, and I don't know how often it's used in some of these tracks because I can't really see them in the tracker, but it has this thing called rhythm mode. And what that means is you can sacrifice three of those nine voices for five percussion sounds that can't be normally made in FM synthesis. So you get like a bass drum, a snare, toms, hi-hats, and a cymbal, and you can kind of use those to create more dynamic music, I guess, you know, because doing FM drums is not that easy. There's some tricks you have to pull there. So I think this was a really cool feature of the sound chip.
Yeah, it sounds more like MIDI percussion over FM instruments. So it's a nice combination of the two.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the trackers. So the MS-DOS scene was big, and there were a lot of people that kind of migrated over from European computers, maybe the Amiga, C64, and did end up owning, you know, this MS-DOS compatible machine. And so there's trackers written for it, like Adlib Tracker 2, A-Music, Reality Adlib Tracker, which is the big one. I think that's maybe the most well-known. There's the FOST Music Creator. Scream Tracker 3 actually can export as Adlib, I believe, and so can Schism Tracker. But more recently, I want to talk about Rad Tracker, because in May of this year, actually, Rad Tracker was updated to version 2 after 23 years of no development.
Sounds kind of like Impulse Project.
Exactly. We're going in alignment. it's for Windows and Mac, and so you can download it. It's pretty awesome. It also supports OPL 3 now, which is kind of new to the tracker. It only used to do OPL, and now with that extra support, I think it's kind of harnessing a new interest in that chipset.
That's really very cool.
So you ready to move on? Anything else about the Adlib?
No, but I do want to give a few shouts out before we start talking about the song that brought us in. There have been a bunch of people on both the Pixelated Audio and the VG Embassy Discord channels that have really been kind of discovering Impulse Project and have been almost begging us to bring the show back. And the show had never ended. We, you know, Brian and I never like got together and said, we're going to stop doing Impulse Project. Life just gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, you with Pixelated Audio have been doing some great work over there, some huge shows. You just had your 100th Thanks. Episode. So there's been a bunch of stuff going over there.
You didn't talk about VG Embassy at all yet.
No, I didn't. And I was just going to, actually.
Okay.
Pixel Tunes Radio ended. Mike and I split off. We each did our own shows. So now he's got XVGM Radio, and I've started this new show called VG Embassy. And this is an entirely solo project. So I'm doing all the recording and doing all the editing, getting the show out there, doing all the marketing and stuff. So it's been a lot of time spent getting everything done by myself. Every episode, I have a new guest with me. Sometimes they're local, sometimes they're remote. But they kind of come up with the shows, and then I basically help them design the show. And every show is a little bit different. So it's a really cool concept. It's been so much fun, but it's been so much time doing it. And now that I've kind of got a lot of shows under my belt, you know, now I can slow down a little bit and start concentrating on some other stuff that I've been wanting to put out. So I think both of our lives kind of opened up enough just to, you know, be able to get Impulse Project out. And I think we're going to try to get one episode per month out. I think that's a reasonable
expectation for
us.
I think that's totally possible. And, you know, every time I, you know, record an episode with you doing this show, I always have a ton of fun. And I think the same goes for you, right?
So absolutely.
It's not like we ever wanted to stop. It was just just stuff came up. I don't even know. Like, it, all of a sudden, 8 months came by, and I'm like, oh, God, what happened? but I do want to say the VG Embassy is a fantastic show. So if you guys haven't listened to it yet, definitely check it out. I've listened to every single episode and absolutely love it. Ed, you're doing great work there.
Thank you.
I'm still continuing to do the Pixelated Audio thing. I have a new host, Gene, who is a really great guy, and I think he's actually going to be on VG Embassy soon, right?
He is. We're going to be recording in a couple weeks. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. So this is just a big like hodgepodge of VGM and Demoscene and all. Like, we're all the same thing. So it's been a fun ride so far, and we're keeping it up. So, anyways, back to Impulse Project. So let's talk about this track a little bit.
Yeah. So the track was called Raster, and this is when we were just talking about Reality Adlib Tracker and how it's just come back. So this is a track that was kind of bundled with Reality Adlib Tracker when it came out in March of 1995. It was created by Void of the group Reality. Obviously, Reality are the guys who made the Reality Adlib Tracker. And it's a great little kind of a demo tune, but it's also like a really, really nice, very reggae-inspired, but also kind of jazz and bluesy at the same time. It's got some great soloing over this kind of a nice Jamaican sound. And the tones are just super, super smooth. You know, it feels like it was, you know, custom made for this Adlib chip.
Exactly. You know, this track, when I first heard it with you just now, like, it's not doing anything. How do I say this? It's very silky smooth, and it doesn't
it's not showing off.
Yeah, it's not trying to show off. But then that solo kicks in, and it's showing off a little bit. It's pretty awesome. it gets pretty wild. And but the chord progressions are very simple. It's not like overly complex. It just feels kind of earthy, and I like that about the track.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was because, you know, being a kind of a pack-in demo track, you know, you could load this up in the tracker and kind of see, you know, how the song was built as you're listening to it, and maybe that would kind of help composers who are just getting themselves used to the Rad Tracker to kind of, you know, build their own songs off of this one. So I think he did a great job of making a very listenable song, but probably also a song that's kind of a teaching song at the same time.
Totally, totally. Yeah, because if you had something in there that was way, like, overblown, then you might turn some people off, being like, oh god,
yeah,
like
be a little intimidated.
Yeah, so I mean, I get intimidated by just looking at the tracker sometimes, so. Anyways, awesome, great track. How'd you find this? Just because it was bundled in, or?
Yeah, no, there's an OPL collection on the web that I was looking through, and this just happened to be randomly one that I just kind of happened upon. I don't know, I think sometimes I just get drawn to names, and you know, I'm familiar with the term raster, so I figured, hey, I'll take a listen to it, and you know, it was a great track. So it was composed by Void, like I said. His real name is Rob Muller, and he's an Australian graphics artist and composer. So there are a few groups out there called Reality, but this particular one started in New Zealand, and they originally wrote a lot of Amiga demo prods, and they disbanded for a while, then got back together 2 years later and started working on PC demos. At that point, they couldn't find a decent ad-lib tracker to make music for their demos with, so they decided to write the Reality ad-lib tracker. So Void helped with the graphics, and he did some of the code on the tracker, and then he also wrote, like this track, some of the first music for it. This track was released 1 month after the debut of version 1 of the Rad Tracker, so on a wow. on a subsequent patch after the first release, this one started getting bundled in with the music itself. Wow. So yeah,
well, that's pretty impressive. I mean, if you're gonna showcase, you know, a new app and you got something to bundle along with it, that's pretty awesome. So yeah, otherwise it, you know, people would have been like, okay, well, do you have any examples and stuff for us? So at least there's something along with it. But I like the track, it's really good.
Yeah, I think it's a great one. It's kind of an iconic ad-lib song in its own right too.
Right. I have listened to a few other tracks from Void, and they're pretty awesome. I think as time kind of progressed, his skills for writing ad-lib music got even better and better too. Anyways, anything else?
That's all I got, man. I'm waiting for your first track.
Cool. All right, this track is called Action, and this is composed by FBY on the Reality Adlib Tracker, which is using the DOS Adlib or Yamaha OPL2 chip. I think it's an excellent track, so let's take a listen, and we'll be right back. The track was titled Action, and this is composed by FBY using the Reality Adlib Tracker, or RAD, on the Yamaha OPL2. I picked this track because, first of all, I thought it was crazy awesome. It's kind of squeaky in the high range a little bit, but I really, really like the pace and the tempo and how every instrument kind of works together, because he's really using all nine of those channels and making something very, I guess, beefy and fun to listen to.
Yeah, the first thing I thought was, this sounds a lot like video game music and action video game music. I think the title's really fitting.
Right.
Very, very frenetic, very fast-paced. I felt like maybe like the character would be like running towards me with like something chasing him from behind, like Crash Bandicoot or, you know, Indiana Jones or something. It's got that very kind of fast feeling for it.
Right, right.
And I think Crash Bandicoot's kind of a good description, too, because it has, like, that high end is kind of, like, almost jungly. It's like, it's got those little, like, triplets in there. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, you know, when I first heard this, too, I actually heard it back at the wrong speed. And so I was like, oh, this is cool, but I wish it was a little bit faster. And then, sure enough, I plug it into a proper player, and it worked perfectly. So,
oh, that's funny.
But I really liked the track, and I thought there was a lot of interesting things going on that I don't really hear so much on this sound chip. And so, yeah, we hear a lot of, you know, video game music that might be doing kind of similar stuff, but it's never using the OPL2 chip. So this was kind of a nice take on it. And, you know, it's in mono, but I keep telling myself, like, this is not stereo. It's not stereo. It's not stereo.
Mm.
But I every time I hear the track, it kind of fools me again. So I like that.
Yeah, it almost feels like that high-end stuff should be like kind of like twinkling in each ear, because you so often hear stuff like that on FM.
It's like your ears are trying to catch up, and that one's just not doing it correctly, and so it sounds stereo that way.
Yeah, and the percussion, too. The instruments are very percussive, so it almost feels like there's real drum beats going on, but there really isn't that much discernible in the way of percussion there. Maybe a couple like staticky, noisy instruments, but nothing that's right. Like a real kind of beat, you know?
Yeah. So real quick, let's talk about FBY, and his real name is Fabio Barzagli, and he is an Italian composer. He's been in a lot of different groups. He's been in Anon, Dark Age, also known as DKG, Phase Distortion, Soft One, I think that was maybe his most active group, Spiral, which is another one, and these are all Italian, or at least Soft One and Spiral are both Italian demo groups. And I don't think they're doing anything anymore, but they were pretty active. They had a lot of releases in their day. He started back in 1984 on the C64, and then he got an Amiga in 87. And then really, he says this on his website too, he says, you know, he got into music because his sisters would take him to classical guitar lessons when he was six, and it just kind of stuck with him. So I guess, like, you know, thank you, sisters, because he's making all sorts of cool music now.
Yeah.
He mostly sticks to Fast Tracker, but he kind of dabbles with Rad and Octalizer and stuff like that. You can go to his website. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. He has some of his stuff up that you can download in MP3 form, which is pretty rad, and just probably like 150 different tracks, so he's done quite a lot of stuff.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, I'd like to hear some of his other stuff, especially like maybe some of his mod files. Be interesting to see what he can come up with in those.
Yeah, I know. So go ahead and download, go to his website, download some of the stuff. There's some XM files, some IT files, stuff like that.
Cool.
And just normal mod stuff, so yeah, definitely check it out.
Excellent.
So what do you got next for us?
Next up, let's see. Let's go with a track called Twisted. And this one is from an uncredited composer, but I'm deducing possibly the artist is Tito from the group Candela. So let's take a listen.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was Twisted from an unknown composer from the group Candela, and that was an OPL2 track. That was released on June 15th, 1995, and took second place at the Icing 64K intro compo. So I think...
That's weird that it's unknown.
Yeah, well, I kind of deduced a little bit. So Candela was a Swedish PC demo group, and Candela was made up of the members D-Light, Latex, Mad, Marwin, Matrix, Phobos, Kaz, Redcom, Shape, Tito, and Zyko. So it's one of those. But Tito is credited for the music on a bunch of their other demos, so it's quite possible he's responsible for this tune. His real name is Johan Lars Althoff. And none of the other members were credited for music, so I just kind of have to assume that it's him.
Yeah.
They were active from 1995 to around 2012 and released a lot of demos for DOS, Windows, and Linux. And most of their releases debuted at the Birdie Party, which was a scene gathering held in Sweden. So a lot of their tracks were entered into compos at those parties.
I remember seeing a lot of stuff coming out of Birdie Party. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Maybe I came across this at one point, yeah.
Very possible. Yeah, I really like this one because it's very kind of breezy and summery feeling. I don't know why it's called Twisted. It doesn't really feel that twisted to me. It feels like a very smooth, kind of happy ride, like driving down a beach.
Maybe it's like maybe not twisted. Maybe it's a bad translation. It's like braiding. You know, braiding maybe. Your hair. Or something.
Blowing in the breeze.
Yeah. I like the track. It was really cool. It's... We were talking about it when it was playing. It's, again, a little bit on the high end, kind of like the last track I picked. And you kind of mentioned something about the bass being a little bit weak, but...
Not weak. I think I said farty.
Farty. That's right.
That's right. Proper farty. Term.
But anyways, the bass, though, I felt like it was a little bit flat. And maybe this has something to do with, you know, the FM patches are just hard to do for bass. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not a... composer for any FM stuff, not really a composer at all anyway, so maybe that just has something to do with it, I'm not sure, or it was just a stylistic choice, but the track is a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's probably, pardon the pun, but a learning curve with these different kinds of sine waves, you know, you really have to kind of develop your instruments in a different way than you would if you were used to kind of a more of a traditional FM chip, so... You know, that might cause some difficulties on the lower end there, because when you're playing notes much lower, your sine waves are going to spread out a lot further, and I think those shapes kind of become more apparent. You know, you kind of see the vibrations in between those waveforms, so that might attribute a little bit to those funny bass sounds. But you know, as we go through the show, we might see some other composers that might have a better handle on that stuff.
Right. Now, you said this was released in 1995, and it's in VGM format. I wonder, it must have been converted at some point, because obviously the format isn't that old. So I'm wondering what it was originally composed in, and maybe that's the reason why, you know, it sounds the way it does, because maybe making FM patches in... you know, at another, you know, older software, maybe it was really hard to do, you know, you don't have the same stuff as you would on like a full blown, like FM patch rack or something, you know? So,
yeah. I came across a cool website called the WaffleNet OPL archive.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So it's one guy that is basically gathering up as many, Adlib, OPL2, OPL3 tracks as he possibly can, converting them to VGM format and then uploading them, with as much detail as he could. Some of them don't have much detail at all, which is probably why I don't have a composer for this one.
Right.
But converting it to VGM means that you can use VGM Play, you could use FUBAR, you can use Winamp, so you can play a lot of these you know, song files that normally you would need the actual tracker to play back. You can actually just, you know, play them in commonly found music players nowadays. So that he's doing a great service to the OPL scene, yeah.
Big time. And I came across WaffleNet a few times too, and I downloaded a few of my tracks from there. Actually, I don't think any today, but I listened to a ton of stuff from that website, and it was really helpful, especially because I didn't really know some of these formats. Like, I didn't know the best way to play them back, except for in the tracker. Like, I knew Rad Tracker, but some of these like other more obscure formats, I had no way to. I didn't know where to start, and so that WaffleNet was a great introduction to listen to some of this stuff before I had to like actually do some work and figure it out. That was nice, awesome.
So, what do you got coming up next?
Well, let's see here. So we played Action. The next track I'm going to play is from... I love this track, and I love this musician. Have you ever heard of Extent of the Jam?
Absolutely. He was he did a live panel with you, right? Very recently?
Yeah, he sure did. No, he did a live panel with us last year when we were doing some stuff at Magwest on Pixelated Audio. But he is an excellent composer, and he is kind of a spotlight composer for Rad Tracker. They put a lot of his stuff. Now they bundle, version 2 bundles some of his tracks in with it. And he's done a lot of different albums. So let's take a listen. This is called Fear of Notes, composed by Extent of the Jam. Right, that was Fear of Notes, composed by Extent of the Jam, also known as Lewis Gornfeld. And I thought this track was absolutely incredible. I think this guy has a total command of the sound chip and knows how to really just layer on and layer on different new notes and new instruments and just pushes this chip to its extent, you know, extent of the YM, you know, 3812.
The extent of the jam.
Yeah, extent of the jam. Yeah, what'd you think?
Oh, man, fantastic. He created some amazing instruments, and he used them to incredible effect. It starts off very kind of light and jazzy, but then that it gets into this breakdown about like halfway through the track and just gets really dark and very kind of like Streets of Rage sounding.
Right, right.
Some really cool like electronic guitar, like a rhythm guitar, and then some soloing going on in the background. Really nice use of volume. He's got some instruments kind of like going on in the background while other instruments are kind of taken over in front, which I think is a great way to separate a lot of the pieces that are going on at once because you don't have that stereo separation. So he's kind of using volume to take care of that. Really professional work here. And that kind of like tribally drum beat that goes throughout the entire track is amazing too. So great right. use of the FM channels for percussion here.
Big time. There's something about his music, and first of all, he's a big fan of Yuzo Koshiro, so like any of the Streets of Rage stuff, you'll see him wearing like a hat, Streets of Rage, and he's a big fan, and it shows in his work. There's a lot of that Koshiro kind of influence, I think, that, you know, we can get from it. He's from San Francisco, California, so he's just right up the road from me, and specializes in hyperactive video game funk grooves and original sound design. He's been doing stuff since 1992, and he's doing it to this day. Like I said, Rad version 2 just came out, and some of his stuff was bundled in, and so I think a lot of people in the kind of OPL2 scene, as far as like, you know, music goes, definitely know his stuff. Even chiptune music, he's just got a great command of the sound hardware and just knows how to use it. And he's very clever with his patches and his FM, because when he was on our panel, he actually had a panel right before us on how to create music with Rad Tracker. And it was really interesting. And he showed some of the tricks that he did for creating more dynamic drums. Like, he would add like a low bass drum, and then he would have like a pop on a different channel as that note was kind of coming up. Mm. And so it would create this more rich kind of percussion sound with FM that you couldn't do on a single note on a single channel. He was really just making up new stuff. And he basically recreated during his panel like a Yuzo Koshiro track. It was like some Streets of Rage track. And so it was incredible. And the guy just, he figured out the rules of how FM work for this chip and kind of mastered it. And so a lot of his tracks have this level of dedication, this level of quality.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I noticed during some of the soloing, every single note had an individual touch, either a note bend or a specialized vibrato, something that kind of made it feel like a human performance instead of just a sequence set of notes coming out of a tracker. And that's that attention to detail that shows that he really, really loves what he's doing and really wants to make sure everything is, you know, 100% perfect.
You know, actually, that kind of brings me to one of your recent episodes, actually, when you were talking with the composer of The Messenger on VG Embassy.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were talking about like how he would meticulously work or be aware of every note and make each note unique. And I feel like this is another good example of a composer that's doing that, really taking care and pride in each of those notes.
Yeah, for sure. It's a mark of a great artist.
Yeah, we'll put a link to his music. You can find his stuff on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, all this stuff. And we'll put it in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But what do you got up next for us?
Oh, man, my last track. I can't believe it. It feels like we just started. This one is called My Dirty Old Adlib. And it's by Zalsa of the group Titan. All right, that was My Dirty Old Adlib, composed by Zalsa from the group Titan. And that was a fun little track. It was kind of like evenly toned. It wasn't as dynamic, I think, as Extent of the Jams track was, but I think it's very competently composed. It's got a lot of nice soloing. It feels more like a traditional demo scene track than I think a lot of the stuff that we've heard on the show so far. A lot of this other stuff is more like FM video game music, or a little more jazzy and more soulful than a lot of like the traditional like demo scene stuff. But this one has a very, very scene feel. What did you think of it?
Well, totally. Like, I'm a big fan of Zalsa, and I thought we played him a lot more on the show than maybe we have. Maybe that's because we keep seeing, like, oh, it's Zalsa. Oh, we played him a million times. We should probably, like, you know, pick somebody else. I think that's really what it comes down to. But, yeah, Zalsa's stuff is usually very zany, very fast, high energy, and it's always a lot of fun to listen to. Sometimes, you know, after you listen to, like, four or five tracks, you got to, like, slow yourself down, otherwise your heart's gonna explode. But his stuff is usually pretty good. I've never heard any of his ad lib stuff before, so this was new to me, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty safe, but, you know, again, kind of zany Zalsa stuff.
Yeah, this was the only FM or ad lib track that I could find from him. So I think maybe this was more of an experiment or a goof, you know, because normally he's composing in XM or mod format. So
totally.
You know, this is probably just a, hey, I know I found this cool tracker. Let's try to make some OPL music. So
see what happens. Yeah.
But he's a Swedish composer, and he's been in a ton of groups. He's been in Analogic, Chippendales, Chipstream, CSP, Fromage, Musiker, Novano PC, Razor 1911, The Rebels, Spin, Tequila, and then finally Titan. So, he was born in 82, and he credits his cousin who brought home a 286 PC when he was a kid for his interest in computers. And then he started composing in Fast Tracker, which his friend introduced him to, and he started really getting into the scene in 1998 when his first ever released track tune took first place at that year's Remedy Party. So here he is, a total scene virgin, and he releases one track and it takes first place at Remedy. So that's
incredible.
Really impressive.
Yeah.
And you know, that basically gave him his jump start in confidence to create more music, and he's created, God, hundreds of tracks. Fast
gave
Tracker
him his wings.
2 is his, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gave him his wings. I think that if you go to his, I think it's his Bandcamp page, maybe SoundCloud. No, it's, he's got both, but you can buy some of his albums. He has like pure demo scene stuff, and he's releasing it all the time. I get notifications. I think I'm subscribed to his stuff, so I get notifications all the time. Oh, Zalsa's got a new album out. All right, I'll check it out. But always high quality stuff.
Yeah. His real name is Alexander Bueller, so he's one of those kind of chip tuners that I don't think will ever die. This is like his full time vocation at this point.
Yeah, I think he's in it for the long haul. So, and I guess we'll just have to put more of his stuff on the show because we've just been, you know, silently thinking we've already played a lot. So, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I don't know. I had a lot of fun researching all of this OPL2 stuff because I didn't even know there was any sort of a scene surrounding the OPL2. And I always just thought Adlib was for video games only. And it was just something that composers made music for because that's the chip that was in there, you know, in the PC at the time, and you got to make some music with it.
Right.
And that I never really looked at it as something to be very enthusiastic about because I never thought it was really capable of too much.
Right.
But these guys are really showing that you can do some very, very cool stuff with this chip. So I'm very surprised and impressed by it.
Yeah, no, me too. Like, I didn't really know much about scene stuff going on with Adlib, and other than Rad Tracker, I knew about Rad Tracker, but I was like, who uses it? You know, like, I played with it once and I was just like, okay, whatever. But I was a young kid at the time, and so it never really made an impression on me. And then, you know, come to look later on that there's actually like a nice kind of cult following around this tracker and just the OPL2 in general. And so it was really fun to go through some of this stuff. And I think that's what I like about these spotlight episodes, because sometimes at first we got to like really dig and it's like, oh my God, are we going to find anything? And then, you know, sure enough, we have more stuff than we expected, more stuff that we can possibly play in an episode. And so that's always a lot of fun because now we can start kind of putting stuff in random episodes here and there. So I like it.
Exactly. And I'm really looking forward to hearing some more Extent of the Jam stuff. That was a great track. So,
well, we could throw something on at the end if you want. I do have one more track though. And this is a pretty good one. You ready for it?
Hit me with it. I think I'm ready. My body is ready.
Didn't sound quite sure there. No, this is a good track. It's called A Blib. I guess that's how you say it. A Blib. Composed by Warlord. And this was done in A Music Tracker. That's the name of the tracker, A Music. And let's take a listen. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. right, welcome back. That was Oblib, composed by Warlord in 2009 using the A-Music tracker on the Yamaha OPL2. I thought this was an incredible track, and I totally had fun listening to it. This was the ad-lib entry for the Winter Chip 4 compo. I don't know what place it took, because I didn't see it on there. Maybe it didn't place, but I thought this was totally incredible. It was a fantastic little track. It goes through a few different motions, and those very, like, I guess, evasive kind of bass line notes in there that just, you know, swell.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible. It's so so chilling and fun to listen to.
Like a very bassy FM sweep. Like we were talking about kind of like the weak low end that some of the other tracks had that we were playing before, but this one really feels like solid, nice, twirmy bass. Really good FM sound on this one. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, there wasn't too much in the way of, like, dynamic melody and stuff, but just the sounds. And I think it was a much more technically proficient piece than it was a musically proficient piece. But just as impressive all the same.
You know what it reminded me of at the towards the end there, when it kind of breaks down and gets all bubbly, is the... Do you remember the Vector Man soundtrack? I think it was John Holland, I think, did that.
It reminds me
of that. It's very kind of like spacious. It's mono, but it feels like it's swelling. These little bubbles are swelling around you, and I like that atmospheric kind of vibe that it gave me. So, yeah, I know that's the first thing that when I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, Vector Man, yeah, cool. Anyways, Warlord.
So I'll blow your mind.
Yes.
We actually played a track from Warlord on our last episode, but it was so long ago we've forgotten about it.
Oh my God. Well, I knew that. I mean, I knew the name sounded familiar. That's what happens when you take a 9-month break or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. We played a track called Frozen Silence. It was one of your picks.
Oh my God.
But before that, on our episode 30, on our Pokey episode, we actually played a track from him. And I think that was one of my picks.
Well, so the thing is, like, I saw the name and I was like, you know, I feel like we've played tracks from Warlord before, but I went to the website and I'd never seen this website before. I don't know what, it's like green and stuff. I'm like, this would have stood out to me, but it didn't. So I was like, okay, maybe this is somebody different and I just am not recognizing it.
I do have his real name though. It's Juha Jakula, if you remember that.
So we must have. Okay, well, that's his real name. It doesn't say it on his website. I don't know why.
Yeah. Cool. And then he goes by Warlord when he's composing in the demo scene. And when he's doing metal scene stuff, he goes by Armagon. So he has two different names, depending on whether he's doing metal music or scene music. So,
oh, okay.
Two different personalities, basically.
That makes a lot more sense. His website doesn't give any of that information, so it just says, yeah, it was part of a metal tracking group, and the group says here, it says Armagon, but maybe that's just his name on there.
Yeah,
so.
This was all in his Battle of the Bits profile, so that's where I got all that from.
Oh, well, that's why, and I see a lot of his stuff on here is actually Battle of the Bits, so that would make a lot more sense. Well, thanks for doing my research for me, because I clearly failed that one. Oh, no, you know what? I did the research correctly, but just like 8 months ago, and so I'll go with that.
Exactly. Not doing the same work twice. That's what we're all about. Efficiency.
All right, so I think that kind of wraps up the show. Do you got anything else? Any closing remarks?
Yeah, man. I want to give some shouts out to a lot of those fans we were talking about at the beginning of the show, like Utopia Nemo. Who else was there? Tin Pot Gamer, The Dyad, Norm, Electric Boogaloo, a whole bunch of guys who kind of, Henrik Anderson, they've all kind of recently discovered Impulse Project during this hiatus. And they've been really kind of propping us up, I guess, listening to each
totally,
of our episodes.
Totally.
And
kind of instrumental in bringing us back into it, because I think it was more like they were just like, hey, so you know, I'm at episode like 33, 34 now, and kind of running out of shows. So I'm glad that they tipped us over, because I had a lot of fun doing this.
And, you know, we always have our Facebook group, and even though we've been on hiatus, there have been a whole bunch of chiptuners that have been posting in that group.
I swear, there's
well.
Going to be a lot of surprise people when they see a new episode come out. They're going to be like, I thought this was gone, you know. So, it'll be good. And
yeah, it's going to be very cool.
Yeah, if you want to know more about the show, you can check us out online at impulseproject.info, and we're on Twitter at impulsecast.
That's for sure. And you can always check out my new show at thevgembassy.com. I've had actually a lot of chiptune artists on my show so far. Guys like Daya, Dread, Rainbow Dragon Eyes, who composed the Messenger soundtrack. He's also a chiptuner in his own right. Who else has been on
there?
We had
Daya on this show, too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. And I just did a show with Michael Bridgewater from Forever Sound Version. He goes by Mibri, and he does a lot of C64 music. So, yeah, if you want to listen to some chiptuners talk about VGM, you can always head over to VG Embassy and listen to those guys, too. So,
cool stuff.
Kind of crossing over the scenes here with my own podcast. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm still doing my same thing, pixelatedaudio.com. Like I said, we got a new co-host, which is Gene. He's really awesome. He's really involved in chiptune scene, and he's really good friends with Lewis and stuff like that. He knows the scene pretty well, and so we should get him on an episode sometime. It'd be a lot of fun.
That'd
too.
That'd be great, sure.
You know, James is still doing Pixelated Audio too. He's just on a break and doing some other stuff. I guess we'll just keep doing what we do, and hopefully we'll get another episode out soon.
Exactly. Like I said, once a month. So this is our November episode, so next one will be December. And I don't know, we'll come up with something fun to talk about. I'm looking forward to maybe doing a little free pick and showing off some tunes that I've been listening to over the past 8-9 month break that we've had going on.
I tell you what, we're going to have a really awesome end of year kind of thing, or 2018 in review, because there's been a lot of scene parties and there's been some wild stuff coming out. So I think that'll be a lot of fun to do, you know, as we get into kind of more the end of the year or something.
Sounds good to me.
Cool. Do you want to listen to that extended the jam track to take us out?
Oh, yeah. You've got another one? Sure. I'd love to listen to it.
Got another one. Yeah. So might as well, you know, since it's kind of a chip spotlight, leave out with a bonus track. So this is called Add It Up, and it's actually just part one of a two-part musical miniseries by Extent of the Jam. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you back in at least a few weeks for our next episode.
Yes. Thank you so much for the support, guys. We'll see you soon.